Now, it's been well over a year and a half since we last spoke to Ian Dumiser of the EcoBrick Exchange. He's the man who's making such ingenious use of EcoBricks, building everything from garden beds to buildings and creches and the like. And I know from previous interviews with him and previous talks about making EcoBricks that a number of you have been very enthusiastic embracers of the concept. If you were sitting there going, what is an EcoBrick? I don't know what that is. Long story short, it's a 2-liter cool drink bottle that has been stuffed full, and I mean really, really packed full of non-recyclable chip packets and plastics, etc., the kind that cannot be recycled. You shove them into the 2-liter bottle, you damp it all down with a stick to make sure it's really tightly packed and firm, and the result is a very lightweight, thermodynamic building material, which was being used, as I said, very creatively to build all kinds of things. Sadly, though, over the last couple of months, I've heard from a number of you who've emailed to say, hey, what's going on with EcoBricks? I tried to drop my latest batch off and my usual drop-off point wouldn't take them. Our school is no longer collecting them. They're saying that nobody is using them anymore. What's going on? We thought we'd take the gap today to find out what's going on and whether EcoBricks are a thing of the past or whether it's just the beginning of a new phase for them. Ian Dumiser on the line with me again, Director and Project Manager at the EcoBrick Exchange. Ian, great to have you on the show again. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much, Pippa. Great to hear from you again after all this time.
Yeah. So what is going on, Ian? Are EcoBricks still being made and used in South Africa?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, overwhelmingly so.
Really?
Which is great. And it also forced us to relook at what we're going to be doing with them.
Okay.
Originally our intent was to get them to be made in very plastic polluted areas, which we are still doing in about 40 different communities across South Africa. But then given the rise and uptake, we have expanded the sort of application, mm-hmm. and we're now offering more ways for like the motivated citizen to start a small project of their own. And that's specifically through our IKEA-inspired maker kits.
Aha. So instead of making your EcoBrick and taking them to a centralized drop-off point, which takes them away and delivers them to you or someone like you to build a school with them, you're asking people to rather launch their own small building projects. Is that right?
Exactly. And actually, to start off with, just by building a little item of furniture. So we've got a range of furniture which we've had designed, and then the components, the timber components as well as the wire, have been machined and are ready to be purchased. So that then all you need is as little as 6 EcoBricks, and then you can create a little stool for yourself and your family, so that you can use your whole year's supply of plastic to make yourself a bench.
It's really creative. I mean, Ian, I'm always mindful of the fact that we wish there was no need to have EcoBricks. We wish there was no unrecyclable plastic and that people were a lot more careful about what they chose to purchase in what sort of packaging so that there was never any need to have 2-liter cool drink bottles shoved full of chip packets and the like. But we know, unfortunately, that that plastic is still in use and is being generated within our households as waste. So if we are going to produce that waste, let's find a way of using it to some good end. Building a stool is one thing. What are some of the other things that you can do creatively with your own EcoBricks?
Well, one of my favorite applications is the raised bed vegetable garden, because usually they take about 1,000 of EcoBricks to create, and it creates a very comfortable to use raised vegetable garden. We've built a nice big one actually at the waterfront and a few smaller ones scattered around. But other applications actually are inside the sort of the standard building industry. We're doing a lot of lobbying to get EcoBricks to be an accepted material to be used for actually ways to displace sort of concrete, mm-hmm. so as to reduce the amount of concrete that you need in projects. But that's quite early, and the building industry takes a while to kind of turn its cogs. Mm-hmm. But when that starts, it'll be exciting because then there'll suddenly be a demand for these EcoBricks, which will then enable a lot of entrepreneurship.
Okay. I mean, it's fascinating to hear you talk about actual projects that have been completed. So a huge vegetable garden at the waterfront. Can you give us some other examples of some of the major projects you've completed of late?
Yeah. So I mentioned we run projects in our 40 what we call fragile communities. So these are areas like townships and informal settlements. And the reason why we focus on areas like this is that in such areas, there's often not access to service delivery. So there's a very high likelihood that the plastic, if it's not being eco-bricked, in these areas, that'll enter directly into the environment.
Yeah.
Just some context, I mean, if you look, just the snack packaging plastic that's being used in South Africa annually, so that's chips, chocolates, just your sort of daily snacks, it's 12,000 tons of plastic annually.
Sure.
Which is then, if all that were to be eco-bricked, that would be 50 million eco-bricks.
30 million. Okay, what could you do with 30 million eco-bricks, Ian?
Exactly. So that's why we've crystallized our focus to incentivize it to be made in these fragile communities so as to therefore have the biggest environmental effect of stopping plastic entering the environment. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people are making them in their home environments, and they have at least they have access to landfill, service delivery, which isn't great, but it's a lot better than if it were to fall directly on the street and then into the ocean.
Mm. Okay, now I want to just revisit their value as a building device and material, because I'm sure for those who've not played around in the space as you have, Ian, they're going, come on, how can a 2-liter cool drink bottle be an adequate replacement for bricks and mortar or cement? I mentioned at the start that they're lightweight, they're also thermodynamic. Tell us a little bit more, Ian, how do they function as a building material? Are they sufficiently strong to be used in walls of a school, for example?
They function very differently to standard bricks. So their role is to take the space of a wall, so as they don't necessarily, you don't rely on them for their structural integrity. So that means that they then need to fit into a different building system, mm-hmm. Which is quite similar to frame construction, if they're going to be used to make walls.
Right.
But if they're going to be used to displace concrete, there's a different sort of method. I wish I could tell you more about that, but at the moment it's currently happening, so okay. Watch this space.
Okay, fair enough. A question on our WhatsApp line, Ian. Somebody asking, is it only the 2-liter bottles? Can you also make eco bricks out of smaller sizes like a 500ml or 1.5, or for that matter, a 5-liter bottle?
That's a very good question, and I'm glad it came up. So what we incentivize is anything between 2 liters and 2.5. Because there's the 2, the 2.25, and the 2.5. Reason being is that as long as it's within that that area, we can get enough of those types. Now, a lot of the applications, we need the bottles to be of consistent size.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that comes from. But then another important note is that where possible, if you could rather use yellow, green, or brown bottles, we encourage this, because clear plastic bottles are actually highly in demand in the recycling space. And so the more that people recycle their clear bottles, the less virgin plastic has to be used. And I know that a few brands are starting to do a return campaign where they're encouraging people to return their clear plastic bottles and reuse them up to 14 times and only then recycle. So we really don't want to be seen as a competitor to the recycling industry. And so we are starting to work with more recyclers to get access to the green and brown ones, because they're struggling to sell them onto the recyclers.
Correct. Our Wendy Nola, our consumer correspondent, has told that to us frequently, that when she visits recycling plant, it's visibly obvious that the green and brown plastic in particular is discarded, not seeing as being of value and further use down the chain. So it would be fantastic if people focused on using that. Now, in Judy's message to say, where do I hand in the eco bricks I have made, because I just cannot find anywhere in Somerset West. You've told us that you'd love people to use them themselves. Is there still any kind of sort of centralized drop-off point if people want to rather donate them on to a bigger project?
So at the moment, all of the projects that we are involved with have reached capacity and their storage capacity. However, we are in planning for a sort of pop-up collection campaign, which will be taking place, I know it sounds like a long way away, but it'll be taking place in July, given that it's Plastics Awareness Month and it's also Mandela Day. So we're going to be doing fun activities with quite a few different collection points across the country and Somerset West will definitely be involved in that.
Okay, so Judy, the answer is keep making them, hold on to them in a small corner of your home if you can until July, when you'll have a chance to donate the whole shebang to somebody else. Somebody's asked a very good follow-up question here, Ian, saying it's great that you can make and build things with this, but what if that house eventually comes down many years down the line? Does this not then become, again, part of the plastic problem, only a future generation's problem?
That's also a very good question. I'm glad it came up. So the way that you construct with EcoBricks, as I mentioned, the frame technology, the way you package the EcoBricks is important, because if you detail the materials that you surround the EcoBricks with correctly, when you demolish the building, you can actually reclaim the EcoBrick. So, for example, the garden that we built at the waterfront, we've done it in such a way because we only had access to the site for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so we designed it in such a way that if the whole garden were to be have to be relocated, we could demolish the walls but reclaim all of the material. Now, standard construction, especially with cement bricks and things like that, when you demolish buildings, you can claim very little of the material. And in fact, that's why so much of the landfill sites are made up of single-used construction material.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the lifestyle design of the building, that is an important factor, and so as to be able to reclaim the bottles. And then, you know, studies indicate that a PET bottle, if shielded from the sun, will not start to break down for 450 years. So, and you remember, you're encapsulating all of that. So each EcoBrick can hold 250 chip packets, and each chip packet can break down when it goes into the ocean into at least 720 parts. So every EcoBrick is keeping 180,000 potential microplastics out of the environment.
And on that impressive figure, we must wrap up. Ian Domiser, thanks so much for chatting to me, Director and Project Manager at the EcoBrick Exchange. If you would like further information about what to put in them, what not to put into them, all the things that can be done with them, please do Google EcoBrick Exchange or go to their website, ecobrickexchange.org, for more information. And we'll touch base again in July about that next big drop-up campaign.